Welcome to another episode of Ryan's Method Passive Income Podcast. Here's your host, Ryan Hoag.
Hey guys, thanks for joining me today. I'm here with Cameron from Merch Jar. That is his Amazon advertising software. He's been using it to absolutely kill it on Amazon merch. And today we're going to talk about his recent success. What's up, Cameron?
What's going on, man? Thanks for having me on. It's been a while.
I know, man. How did so much time go by without us touching base and catching up, man?
That's been more me. It's been a crazy year personally for me. So kind of trying to get back in the swing of things, make more content, and give value to everybody watching. So,
yeah, man. And I already know that you've been killing it in business because we were talking a little bit off camera about like how your different businesses have been kind of pushing along and whatnot. Specifically, though, I want to talk today about, we just had Black Friday, we had Cyber Monday.
Yeah.
I already know that you're always killing it on merch, but like, what were your numbers looking like recently on, you know, Black Friday?
Well, we can just, if you want, we can just share my screen. I'm happy to show it. Let me just pop this over. Here's the graph.
So check that out. What'd your Black Friday look like?
So Black Friday, yep, 622 units, $3,200 in royalties. A lot of that from my one hero product, as I call it. About three quarters sales from that. And this is just one t-shirt. As you can see, 450 units, $2,300. So that was Black Friday. And then Cyber Monday actually beat Black Friday, which I was a little surprised, actually. It was off to a really slow start. Then people must have like get off work and it just exploded.
I thought people do their Black Friday shopping or Cyber Monday at work. Isn't that how you're supposed to do it?
You would think like they should pay you to do that kind of stuff. But $695 or 695 units and 500 of that from the hero, 3,600 total royalties, you guys can see there. But year over year, it's about a 50% increase from what I saw last year.
Yeah, that's amazing. And so why don't you just like briefly tell everybody about how you were able to kind of achieve these numbers with the help of Merch Jar? Like, I mean, obviously, if I show some big numbers, the first question I get is like, oh, how much in ads? How much in ads? So we already know you're advertising. Like, kind of what's the secret of how you're able to achieve this crazy success?
Well, so Merch Jar is definitely like a key to that. And just advertising in general, like no product is going to reach this level in this sales environment with just how much competition there is, how oversaturated all this is. Unless you're using ads. I mean, Amazon kind of requires it, which I mean, for them, it's a business decision too, because they're making all that money from it. So of course they want you to run ads and they reward you for that with organic traffic when you're getting sales. So that's, ads is definitely like the key to this success, but it's not overnight either. This shirt is over 3 years old. So it takes time to get ranks. There's thousands of reviews on it. That's another key too, is like kind of that age. This isn't a get rich quick scheme. Like maybe you could hit like some trend or holiday design, but it's more of like long-term steady, consistent growth. And that's what this design has, where it's just kind of, it wasn't until last year, last holiday, where it kind of hit the threshold of reviews to really start taking off. And it did. It was one of the best-selling merch t-shirts on the platform the last week of the holiday sales, kind of right before they dropped off all of the shipping times past Christmas. That's when you see that like cliff typically in sales. But yeah, so advertising in general, that's kind of how it happened. And when it comes to like what that looks like, for one, it's a lot of ad spend. I do spend a lot. I'm very aggressive, particularly for this design, because it's kind of in a very broad niche where there is a lot of competition. It's competing for very high traffic, high competition search terms against more than just t-shirts too. Like on the, you know, think of like dad shirt, like how broad and generic it, you know, that's getting.
That makes sense that you're casting such a broad, like, net, because that's one thing that, like, for people watching, you know, you may hit the apex top of your possible like sales in a niche and it still might not match Cameron's shirt, because like it may not have these super broad keywords. Like for instance, like what if you chop the word shirt off, you know what I mean, and you don't even put the product type and you just put like gift for X?
Yeah,
Cameron might be ranking super high on that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and you're also competing against more than just those kind of products. You're competing against, I don't know, just look at dad gifts on Amazon, just see all the kind of crazy stuff that is selling out. But yeah, you're absolutely right. It's more about trying to reach the peak potential of what your product is. And there's a few strategies with that. Ads is kind of behind all of them. But yeah, not every design or product is going to have that level of reach. And that's totally okay. It's kind of like owning the search terms that it fits, the relevant search terms. This one does happen to be very broad to where it can reach those sales levels, which is great. But it's also, again, it costs tens of thousands of dollars to get there, where another, you know, you're in a very small sub niche of a sub niche that is much cheaper to do, especially with ads. You can actually run your ads profitably on a lot of that. The last several months leading up to Christmas, I mean, my ads were unprofitable for this specific design, especially for a lot of the big keywords. I mean, there's keywords where I'm paying right now over $3 per click just to try to maintain that rank or keep ranking up for that search term. I'm losing money on it, but it's worth it for me to, when it's a search term that sees hundreds of thousands of impressions per month, it's worth it. So it's kind of a balance there. But Mershar has definitely helped with the advertising. It's easy to just say, go spend a bunch of money, but it also comes down to a little bit of strategy too. And like, just straight up, like, I'm honestly a pretty lazy advertiser. It's why I built Mershar, because I didn't want to spend tons of time in advertising console and have a day job basically managing my ads, because you could. There's always like more you can do, yeah. Little optimizations. And
I'm gonna say really quickly, like, I'm in a group of like top tier like Amazon merch sellers on Facebook, like a private group, and it's like the people who are really like, I feel like Amazon merch kind of algorithmically caps how many sales you're really gonna hit in a day, typically, unless you're willing to really hit the ads hard. I know a lot of people see it that way too. And the people who are hitting the numbers that you're hitting, they're doing it in ad console. Like, people think they're Amazon merch sellers. It's like, no, they're almost more like advertisers than they are like merch designers and uploaders.
100%. Yeah. And honestly, at this point, I don't really handle, I have a design team at this point. They handle all that. Yeah. I do a little bit of research occasionally, but for the most part, I'm really hands off on that. And I do the uploading. Otherwise, I've put my time and attention into ads, and it's been, and I Mershar has allowed me to still maintain that kind of freedom or free up my time, because it's software that kind of automates a lot of the daily tasks for you, those little bid changes that you want to make, structuring your campaigns in an appropriate way. And that's another really big key that's really helped, is I'm not just throwing an automatic campaign up for this product and just hoping for the best. You can do that, and that's where you start with ads, but it's then once you find the keywords that are working, you're kind of moving those, you're creating those manual campaigns, exact match, broad match. So there's kind of a structure to that as well. And Mershar automates all that for me. So a lot of my time this whole year, even though I've barely done anything for this specific design in ads, a little bit, I'm not going to say I just did absolutely nothing. I created some new campaigns, found some new competitors to target, some real simple stuff. Mershar has kind of handled the rest of it for me. Finding those keywords that are search terms that the automatic targeting campaigns found, and then plugged in those into the manual campaigns for me. And like I said, it just kind of automates that whole thing, but it structures it for you.
You kind of quickly glossed over too, like, what to me is so valuable, like, to me is the one that makes me think like amazing. And that's just the auto adjusting of bids, because that's one thing that gets overlooked, man, by a lot of people. I actually just took a call with somebody doing FBA, and it was like, just was 2 days ago. Or it was Saturday, so I guess 3 days ago. But it's like, it's a great looking product, great listing, all these things. Where they're struggling is ranking it. And obviously, yeah, ads are going to be required. But it's like, if you think of like the ad spend as like a pie, and he's got one set of keywords that's like the primary, where he's converting really well, and it's exact match, it's set up right. But then of the pie, it represents like maybe 20% of his ad spend. And the rest is kind of like spending every day, but not performing well. And I'm like, dude, like, you know, you don't have to fuel the fire of these other keywords that aren't really helping you get where you want to be. You know, you can increase your bids on that exact match and really like start to rank there organically, because you're soaking up sales, you're converting. And, you know, that's where like, it's one of these things where obviously there's a learning curve, but everybody's capable of getting past it if you actually keep getting better. But then also the back half is like getting in there and adjusting your bids, because the bids, the suggested bids, a function of what people are willing to pay. And that's, that's changing with time. So
it changes day to day too. I mean, the performance of a keyword can change. Even like one that was performing 3 days ago may not be performing as well now. So it's definitely not like a set it and forget it. You have to maintain your bids. And I'm not saying you have to jump in there and do it every single day even. We have found that Amazon does respond to that better, doing very frequent, small adjustments to your bids versus say once a week you're making a little bit bigger adjustments. We have found that the algorithm does respond to that a little bit better, not making sweeping changes, just those kind of very small changes all at once. But and sometimes just kind of it's just Amazon. Sometimes things just don't work the way you expect it to. You can have an auto campaign and see, hey, this search term for my product is doing really well. It's, you know, running at a 15% ACOS, has 10 orders. I'm going to throw that into a manual campaign, exact match, which you would think, okay, great. Now I can really fire this up. And Amazon won't even deliver it. They just don't give you impressions. So there's some things like that. There's some, we don't really know how Amazon's algorithm works. I don't think most people, Amazon knows how that works. At least any one person. So we can just kind of like make the best guesses. But I mean, there's things like, it seems Amazon only gives exact match impressions to the bigger sellers and bigger spenders. And they prefer you to use broader match, auto campaigns, broad match, phrase match versus exact match. So that's just like one example. But it comes down to, yeah, the bid changes, like making those little adjustments over time. And I mean, just day to day in a normal season, that changes. And then especially when we get into like holiday seasons, there's more competition. You have to pay attention to that, because you can either spend a ton of money if you're a little lax with your budgets and your bids high. You can spend a lot of money without any results. Or the opposite of that would be your bids don't stay competitive and they just don't give you any impressions. And then you can start to lose rank. And I know you've talked about sales velocity and so forth, where, and usually we talk about in the positive light, where your sales velocity is you start getting sales on a search term. So Amazon increases your rank to reward you. You get more organic. They reward you more if you keep selling to keep moving up the rank. And the more you sell on Amazon, the more you sell. It's kind of this really weird concept, but once you get it, you get it. But it's a snowball effect. So as you start selling more on Amazon, they throw more traffic on you and you sell more. But it goes in the opposite too. There's a negative sales velocity is when you start decreasing in sales. There's a snowball effect that way where you can lose sales very quickly as well, because you're losing ranking and all your competitors out there. And we're not just, I know this is focused on merch and t-shirts, but we don't just compete against t-shirts. We're showing up on whatever search term it is. And there can be any sort of products on there. That's your competition. It's going to, of course, depend on the niche and so forth. But yeah, we're not just competing against t-shirts. And you have competitors out there that have higher profit margins than what merch does. Merch is generally pretty low. I got $5 per shirt to work with. That's my ammo when it comes to ads. I'm still competing against other products that might have $10, $15, $20 of profit built in to the product. Maybe it just sells for more money. So there is more. They have more ammo, so they can spend more on ads to outcompete you. And all those competitors are waiting and vying for your spots in ranking. There's always someone trying to take you out. So it's advertising's great in that way, not just to rank up, but to protect your ranking and your sales too. Because I mean, I think we've seen it. I know I've seen it very recently, especially with holiday sales. And to me, this makes, I mean, it's kind of obvious. All of a sudden, you know, this is the worst Q4 of all time. Like Q4 is not looking any better than Q3. Where's all these sales that people are talking about? It's because people have gotten more aggressive with their ad spend. And now that they started outselling you, Amazon ranks them higher than you. You're like, you're no longer at the rank you were at. So you lose sales.
Yeah, man. And while you're saying that, I'm like, I've always wanted to run this experiment. I mean, I've tried it a little bit in the past where I'll have like a $30 t-shirt and just throw so much money into ads and just like, see if I, cause you know how a lot of customers, they don't scroll past the first row anyways. Mm-hmm. So it's like, they'll see the $30 t-shirt. It's what they want. And they're just like, all right, I'll just buy that one. Boop. You know, you got to get a couple of reviews first. I don't know. It's always been something I wanted to try, like just to see, because, you know, whatever the margin would be, you probably have like 12, 13 bucks of
Yeah. And there is something to that for sure. So there's definitely a correlation between price and how much something sells, your conversion rate. People tend to buy more of when something's cheaper. Personally, I prefer to have a higher price. Like I price my t-shirt, this bestseller, at $19.99. So it's kind of at that, I don't know, higher price for merch. You know, that isn't like in a licensed space.
I think that's fair though. Like, you know what I mean? Nobody thinks twice about buying a $20 t-shirt these days. So to me, that's like perfectly fine.
Right. So, but some of my competitors, they price at $16.99, $17.99. I mean, there's one that's, I mean, it's kind of somewhat of a competitor of mine that's priced at $13.99. I know they're not advertising. For one, you can check with something like Helium 10 to see if they are advertising. But I know that because they just don't have the margins. And these other products that are priced lower, I'm still out competing them because I have more to spend on my advertising to get sales. And I mean, it's kind of an old adage in business, sales, marketing, that all things being equal, so conversion rates and so forth, the one that spends the most wins. I mean, it's just straight up that simple. Right. If you spend more in ads, again, all things being equal, kind of product quality, conversion rates, so forth, you're going to beat your competitors.
Yeah. And it's great that someone like you is out here doing it, living it, sharing the results with people like me, because it's like something that's always in the back of my mind, but I'm like, oh, do I really want to go for it? It's kind of scary, you know? I mean, I can afford to like dump some money into ads and try to hit like some really broad keywords like you're doing, but it's just, it's great to see that you're successful with it, that you're willing to share like how it actually works. Like, you know what I mean? Also, it's like, you might be converting on the broad gifts, like the broad keywords, like gift for dad, you know what I mean? Gift for dad. If you get ranked on there and you generate a bunch of reviews for there, well, those reviews are still showing up on your product when someone types in like dad t-shirt, right? So, or you know what I mean? Or maybe even like long tail keywords more.
Yeah, it's kind of a rising tide lifts all boats sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
So but like, I want to be clear, this didn't happen overnight. Like I didn't just like create this product and jump into competing for dad gifts with, you know, all these other products. It took a lot of time. And I was, you know, I'm not this aggressive with every single product just out the gate. It's just for one, I've been doing this for, I don't know, 4.5 years or so now in Merch by Amazon. And I couldn't look at a design and say, hey, that's going to sell. That one's not going to sell. Right. That one's going to sell. I don't know. It's kind of just, you know, throw it at the wall and see what happens. But when something starts getting traction, that's when you can start fueling it with ads. But it also takes reviews. I mean, you're going to have to reach a certain number of reviews before you really start ranking. Like if you look at the top 100 t-shirts or whatever, or any of the top charts that Amazon shows, there's not very many products that don't have at least probably 100 plus reviews. Most of them are going to be in the thousands in most product categories. It happens from time to time, more on, you know, kind of those trending products, current events, so forth, but those also don't tend to last year to year either. You're not going to see those same products for the most part next year as you do this year, unless it is just one that, I don't know, just has some staying power. But yeah, those trending products don't. So that's the other key piece of it, is like it just takes time to get reviews. I don't know what the review rate is, especially after they switch kind of the ratings versus like having to leave a review. But it just takes a lot of sales to get a certain threshold where I feel like you can really rank and start competing. And this is going to depend on the niche too. But if you know, we're talking kind of in this category I'm in, is just very broad, you know, top of the chart sort of thing. Probably 100 plus reviews. I don't think you're really ranking without that. You could start in some other niches, maybe a little bit lower, but that's going to be a key piece. But like I said, this took years to do. I didn't just start competing on this. It took years to build up these reviews, and also to optimize your ads. This product started out just like all my other ones with an automatic campaign. Once I kind of saw it was performing well, and then you find those keywords, you start creating a manual campaigns. I can actually show the structure. I got a link here, or an image, if just to kind of like put an image to what we're talking about when I'm talking about campaign structure. Let me find, I know I got it here somewhere.
Yeah. I know you talked about this last time you were on the channel too, and it's great advice just to structure your campaigns in a logical way. But obviously like for beginners, I think we all go down the rabbit hole of probably doing it in a less optimal way initially, and then having to recreate ad campaigns. The person I was talking to Saturday, it's like I've had a couple calls with them, and that was the first thing I think I said was like, yeah, maybe restart all these campaigns, you know.
Yeah, and it's not necessarily complicated. I mean, like I said, for most people, if you have a product that's doing well, which is kind of what we're talking about, these like hero products of yours, and your hero product is going to be different than my hero product. That's just anything that's making up a significant portion of your revenue. So you're putting more time into it. So, I mean, it doesn't mean it's like, oh, I'm not selling something that's selling, you know, 100 units a day. That's fine. You might have something that's only selling 3 units a day or less than that, or maybe it's only 15 times in a month. That you can start putting a little bit more attention to with advertising. I think I got it here. Sorry, I wasn't prepared to show this, but I think I got it. Here we go. So this is a structure. This is a very typical structure, very similar to what I use. And I go a little bit further, but that's a little more advanced. And this would be quite some time down the road before you even need to do much more than this. But you're going to start with your auto harvesting campaign. This is your automatic campaign. You just have your one ASIN, your one product in there. And as you start finding search terms that convert and get sales, you're going to start testing those with exact match. And then once they perform even better, your best performers are getting the most orders, I move those into a performance campaign. And there's a lot of different ways you can structure this with ad groups and so forth. But this is a very general structure that I use. It's kind of like a sales funnel almost. You start with the auto campaign, find your search terms, moves to the testing campaigns, test them out. The ones that work best, move into the performance. And it's structured this way to just give you some advantages through the way Amazon Ads is structured with your budgets, your bids through like placement adjustments and things like that, which again is a little more advanced. So if you're brand new to ads, just an automatic campaign is great. They work really well. A ton of my sales come from automatic campaigns. And it's always frustrating to me when I see kind of a stigma behind it and I don't know if it's like an old school PPC mentality or what that is. Like, you got to go manual. It's like, I don't know. There's some weird stigma about giving up the reins to Amazon. But Amazon's the one that has all this data. Like, they have a ton of data to use to find customers that convert. And Amazon wants you to. Yeah, of course they make money when people click on it, but they don't want people to just click and not buy. They want customers to buy products. So there's an alignment there in goals between us and Amazon advertising.
No, for sure. I know a lot of people that were doing the like auto campaigns, like lower bids. Like, I feel like you were probably the root, like probably the person that made it super popular. I definitely like helped with the echo chamber on my YouTube channel as well. But it is like when I post my monthly, I guess we're a couple of days away from a new month. I post my, on the first of the month, like on Instagram, my monthly sales. And then I post a second image of my ad spend. And I'm not in here doing a lot of manual work, but the like catch all, you know, low ball bid.
So those are called lottery campaigns. Is that what we're talking about now? The one with like all the.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not setting like a higher bid auto because it's just like I can't be in there managing it. I just don't have time, you know. But it's like people are like ads, and I'm like second image, check the second image, and then it's like oh, $150 spent, 4% ACOS.
Yeah, it's amazing, and that's the other area where I'd say beginners should start is, and maybe you can link a video I did on lottery campaigns, just what they are, but it's literally as simple as you can get. It's one campaign with one ad group in it. And if you don't know what these things mean, it's fine. It's just kind of how Amazon structures these things. They're kind of like boxes within boxes. You have a campaign box with an ad group box in it, then all of your products inside that one ad group. And just kind of let Amazon handle the rest. They're going to target the products that you need to. You don't have to worry about anything. And you can start with really low bids and just make really small adjustments. So they're low risk too. I know that's a really big fear for people just getting started in ads. Like, I don't have a lot of budget. I'm worried that they're going to spend a ton of money. Start with the lottery campaigns, throw a couple bucks a day, daily budget. You might not even spend that depending on how conservative you are with ads, but they do extremely well. And there's a lot of different ways you can take them from there and kind of get your feet wet. But if you're new to Amazon ads, the best thing you can do is just jump in and get started. There's ways you can do it very safely and conservatively without kind of blowing your budget out of the water.
Yeah, Dude, that's great. That's great tips. I'll definitely link to that video if you want to send it to me. So everybody check that out in the description. I'll have a link to Merch Jar as well. And your, of course, Facebook group. So Cameron, man, it's been a great, catching up with you. Great discussion. Yeah, anything you want to leave us with on the way out?
No, happy advertising. If you're not already, get started because it can completely change your business.
Awesome, man. Well, hey, it was great talking to you. Thanks for being here and can't wait to do it again.